Okay, welcome to Shir and Svarno Parshas Emor. Last night we began going through the comments of the Svarno in Perikov Gimel, the particular chapter, very important chapter that deals with the Molados, with the Yom Tovim, Shabbos, and the Yom Tovim that are observed throughout the year. And the Parsha there first introduces Shabbos and then begins to talk about the Yom Tov of Pesach. And yesterday we spoke about, the Svarno deals with the question that the Torah, when it introduces the Yom Tov of Pesach, first talks about the fact that the Korban Pesach is brought on the 14th of Nisan. And the Svarno points out, you know, it's odd that the Torah should mention that here. Again, obviously, Torah has to mention it. It's a mitzvah, very important mitzvah. But it's not really one of the Moados, you know. The bringing of the Korban Pesach is not really one of the Yom Tovim. Erev Pesach is not a Yom Tov. It's a lead-in to a Yom Tov. It's an Erev Yom Tov. But it's not an actual Yom Tov itself. So we pointed out last night that the Pnei Yoshua's answer to that point is to say that, no, you see from here that the Torah considers Erev Pesach in the afternoon to actually be a Yom Tov. And that's why the Gemara speaks about there being an Isser Malacha, prohibition against doing work on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. That's the Pnei Yeshua's answer. The Svarno does not understand like that. The Svarno assumes that Erev Pesach is not a Yontiv, even though it's listed in the Parshas HaMoados. So then why indeed is it listed in the Parshas HaMoados, says the Svarno? Because the whole Jewish calendar is really oriented around making sure that the Korban Pesach is offered up during the spring. We left Mitzrayim in the spring, and it's very, very important that the Korban Pesach, this Korban of our redemption, be brought in the spring. So in a sense, the Korban Pesach is the mover behind the entire Jewish calendar. That's why it merits to be mentioned in the Parshas HaMoados. Building on that, on a somewhat similar theme, in Pasuk Ches, in Perek Chav Gimel, so the Torah speaks about the observance of Pesach, and it says, "V'kravtem ishal Hashem shivas yomim." For the duration of the 7 days of Pesach, you should offer up a special korban. The korban that's being described is the korban musaf, which of course is offered up on all of the Yom Tovim. But what bothers the Svarno in this pasuk is that the Parshas HaMoadim doesn't really talk about the korbanos of the Yom Tovim in great detail. That really, as we know from the laning during the year, that's really the role of Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, it goes through the different korbanos, the korbanos musaf in particular, that are associated with each of the Yom Tovim. Yom Kippur has its own whole set of korbanos that was discussed back in Acharei Mos. Emor does not really focus on the korban aspect of the Yom Tovim, so it seems a little bit odd that the Torah would bother mentioning in Emor that v'hikravtem ishal Hashem shivas yomim, that there's a korban musaf which is brought each of the 7 days of Pesach. Again, it's true, no one denies that, but why is that relevant in the context of Parshas Emor? So the Svarno also makes an interesting comment over here. He says, lahodia, the reason the Torah tells us this in this context is to tell us She'ein chol amoed chol legamri, to teach us that chol amoed is not entirely just a regular, everyday, you know, regular day. It's not entirely chol. Ki bios bohem karbon tzibur nosaf al hatomid, kimo biyom mikra kodesh, hu miklal hechag b'li sofik. In light of the fact that there is a special karbon tzibur, a special public karbon, above and beyond the Korban Tamid, i.e. the Korban Musaf. And in that regard, in terms of Korbanos, there's no difference between the first and seventh day of Pesach and the middle days of Pesach. So that means then that the middle days of Pesach are fundamentally part of Pesach. It's not as if Pesach is just one day in the beginning, one day in the end, and then there are these empty days that are just weekdays in the middle. No, they're an integral part of the Yom Tovim. They're an integral part of the Yom Tov itself. For that reason, he says, The Torah in Parshas Emor doesn't get into the details of what the Korban Musaf actually is. You know, how many animals of this type you bring and how many animals of that type you bring. She'em zos hakavona ato, because that's not the intent of the Torah in this context to tell you the actual details of the Korban Musaf. The rest of the Yom Tovim that are mentioned in Parshas Emor do not have any description of the Korbanos that accompany those Yom Tovim. So why again is the Korban Musaf mentioned with regard to Pesach? Just to tell you that Chol HaMoed is an integral part of the Yom Tov. Uvozeh ha'ofen kosa b'chag ha'sukos. In a similar fashion, the Torah says with regard to Sukkos, also Shivas Yomim Takrivu Isha Lashem. Later on in the Perek, it talks about bringing the Korban Musaf in very, very general terms during the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Lahoros al kedushas Chol HaMoed, to tell us that Chol HaMoed itself has kedusha. Right? So it's, we know that there is a debate among the Rishonim as to whether Meleches Chol HaMoed is Daraisa de Rabbanon. We know that there are certain melechas you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Again, that's perhaps one of the more complicated areas of halacha because it's very subtle. What you can do, what you can't do. I mean, nowadays when most of us are not engaged in agriculture, I think it's fair to say that most things you can do on Chol HaMoed. You have to sort of, you know, it's the sort of the rare thing that you have to think about that you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. But again, the halachas are subtle, and that's why they lead to a lot of confusion. So there's a debate among the Rishonim, are those halachas that prohibit certain types of malach on Chol HaMoed, are those darais or are they derabbanan? But what the Sfarno is pointing out over here is that even those opinions that hold that the malacha, the iser malacha on Chol HaMoed is derabbanan, everyone would agree that Chol HaMoed possesses a kedusha that is similar to the kedusha of the first and last days of the Yom Tov. They're not inferior. They may have different halachas in terms of how we treat them, but the Chol HaMoed is a full-fledged part of the Yom Tov of Pesach or the Yom Tov of Sukkos, as the case may be. Interesting to note, we know as well that there are different practices, different shittas and rishonim, different practices today as to whether one wears tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Even though the traditional Ashkenazi practice was to wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed, it is interesting to note that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and his descendants, you know, the Briskers, did not and do not wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed. And when asked to explain that, and after all, Briskers tend to be machmir for every shita that is out there. So in other words, if you have an opportunity to either wear tefillin or not wear tefillin, you would think that the Brisker perspective would be to definitely wear tefillin, because since there's a shita that says you have to wear tefillin, so you would think that the chumrah is to wear tefillin. You would think that would be the Brisker approach, but the Brisker approach is dafka not to wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. So why not? So the Rav Zatzal explained that his grandfather Reb Chaim's position was that the wearing of tefillin or not wearing of tefillin is linked to the Kedushas HaMoed, the days of the Yom Tov that have the special Kedusha associated with the Yom Tov. And as the Sfarno is saying over here, all of the days of Pesach and all of the days of Sukkos, including Chol HaMoed, have that Kedushas HaMoed. They have that same Kedusha. They may not have the same Isser Malacha. There may be an Isser Malacha on the first day, but not on the intermediate days. But the Kedusha of the holiday, that they all share. The Kedusha of the Yom Tov is expressed by the fact that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was a Korban Musaf on each of the days of Pesach or Sukkos. And as a result, if Tefillin is tied to the question of whether or not the days have Kedusha, so then Chol HaMoed has Kedusha just like the days of Yom Tov. The same way you wouldn't wear Tefillin on Yom Tov, according to Reb Chaim, you wouldn't wear Tefillin on Chol HaMoed either. Right? So again, I'm not taking a stance, certainly not Kedai to take a stance on the question of whether to wear Tefillin Chol HaMoed or not to wear Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That's certainly not what I'm trying to get at over here. But just to point out that this idea that the Sfarno is expressing, that Chol HaMoed has the same Kedusha as the first and last days of the Yom Tov, according to Reb Chaim, was the determinant factor in terms of whether one would wear tefillin chol hamoed. Omnom b'Rosh Hashanah hiskir gam kein ish al Hashem. It is noteworthy that when the Torah later on in the same parak talks about Rosh Hashanah, it also mentions v'hikravtem ish al Hashem. You should offer up a korban before Hashem, which we understand refers to the korban musaf. So it seems odd, according to the explanation of the Svarno, that on Rosh Hashanah it would describe the fact that one brings a korban musaf. Again, in Parshas Emor, Parshas Pinchas, it makes perfect sense to describe that. But in Parshas Emor, it seems strange that the Torah would describe how in Rosh Hashanah you bring a korban musaf. Because again, this is not the place where we're discussing the korbanos. The only reason that the korbanos musaf, according to the Svarno, were discussed on Sukkot and Pesach, were to tell us about the kedusha of Chol HaMoed. No such thing as Chol HaMoed Rosh Hashanah. Right? No one ever told you, this Chol HaMoed Rosh Hashanah, we're going to go visit the museum. You know, there's no such thing as a Rosh Hashanah Chol HaMoed trip. So according to the Svarna, why would there be a mention of the Karban Musaf? So he says, it's to tell us, Sheesh Musaf Nosaf Al Shel Rosh Chodesh, Ka'amro Milvad Olas HaChodesh U'minchasa. Rosh Hashanah gets a special mention of the Karban Musaf because the Karban Musaf is a tricky thing on Rosh Hashanah, because they're really two Karbanos Musaf. Again, unfortunately, we live without a Beis HaMikdosh, so we're not as attuned to this. But every Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So on Rosh Hashanah, the Beis HaMikdosh, in addition to the Karban Tamid, you would bring a Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, and you'd also bring the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Right? We mentioned that in the Davin. Milvad Olas HaChodesh U'minchasam. So the Torah needs to spell that out, even in Parshas Emor, because of the potentially confusing nature of the fact that there are two Karbanos Musaf. Aval b'Shabbos v'Chag HaShuas v'Yom HaKippur lo hizkir inyan hamusaf in klal. But if you look, when the Torah in Parshas Emor talks about Shabbos, or talks about Shavuos, or talks about Yom Kippur, there's no mention of the Karban Musaf whatsoever, because again, in Parshas Emor, it wouldn't serve any purpose. Then he adds as follows. V'kolal Shabbos v'HaPesach v'Chag HaMatzos v'Dibur Echad. There's an interesting thing if you look at the way the Torah sets up the discussion of the Yom Tovim. Again, you could read this parasha so many times, but it's such a little, seemingly little thing, that you may not pay attention to it. So when the Torah starts off, the parasha talking about the Yom Tovim, it starts off, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. After the initial Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, it lays out the laws of Shabbos, the laws of the Korban Pesach, and the laws of the Yom Tov of Pesach itself. All within the same chapter heading, the same title of Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Then in Pasuk Tes, we encounter for the second time Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, and it introduces the idea of the Korban HaOmer, brought on the second day of Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer, and the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Then, Pasuk Chol Gimel, yet another, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, and it introduces the idea of Rosh Hashanah. Then in Chavav, another, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, the idea of Yom Kippur. And finally in Lamed Gimel, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, for a last time, that introduces the Yom Tov of Sukkot. So it's interesting. It seems like every Yom Tov gets its own heading, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, with the exception of Shabbos and Pesach. Shabbos and Pesach are kind of wrapped together in the same rubric, with the same Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. It doesn't say Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar Shabbos, and then another time Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar Pesach. No, Shabbos and Pesach are presented kind of wrapped up together with the same heading, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. It was one dibur, it was one act of speaking that the Ribbono Shel Olam did to Moshe Rabbeinu by teaching him about Shabbos and Pesach. So why is that? Striking. Why is that? So he says as follows. Kishloshtam nitztavu kodem matan Torah. All three of these ideas, the concept of Shabbos, the concept of the Korban Pesach, the concept of the Yom Tov of Pesach, these were things that were all revealed prior to matan Torah. The halachas of Pesach were revealed back in Parshas Bo, and Shabbos, we know, was taught to the Jewish people at Mara. So therefore, since Shabbos and Korban Pesach and the Yom Tov Pesach were all taught prior to Matan Torah, they were all included in one paragraph. Aval b'shar hamoados yiched l'chol moed dibur la'atzmo, as opposed to the other Yom Tovim, where each one got its own heading, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. So this explanation seems a little bit curious. What does he mean? So good. So Shabbos, Korban Pesach, and the Yom Tov of Pesach were taught prior to Matan Torah, so they get lumped together with one Vayedaber, whereas the other Yom Tovim were not taught prior to Matan Torah, so each one gets its own Vayedaber. Why should it matter? What is whether it's taught before Matan Torah or not taught before Matan Torah? What does that have to do with the Vayedabers? Perhaps one can suggest, it's not clear, the Svarno, like so many things he says, he just says it, doesn't necessarily explain it. But perhaps the idea over here is an educational idea. You know, Chazal made clear many times that even Moshe Rabbeinu had the most sophisticated and deepest understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam and his Torah, you know, more so than any other human being who ever lived. And even with all of that, even Moshe Rabbeinu needed time to be able to absorb the teachings that the Ribbono Shel Olam was teaching him. Right? We often find Chazal talk about that there's an idea when the Ribbono Shel Olam was communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was no sein revach bein hadveikim. The Ribbono Shel Olam would pause between the various ideas that he was teaching to Moshe Rabbeinu. You give a shiur, we just keep throwing everything at the recipient, and the recipient feels like he was hit by a freight train, you know, during the course of the shiur. You don't have time to absorb things. You know, even the most brilliant mind needs time to absorb the teachings bit by bit, and, you know, be able to think about what the person is being taught. Even a Moshe Rabbeinu, with all of his godless, with all of his greatness, couldn't just take it all in at once. So maybe the idea this Svarno is bringing out over here is pedagogical. When the Ribbono Shel Olam taught the ideas of Shabbos and Korban Pesach and Pesach to Moshe Rabbeinu, as he does in Parshas Emor, what he's teaching Moshe Rabbeinu is basically, to a large extent, chazara, it's review. Now again, it's not entirely chazara, because as the Svarno has pointed out, all the Mefarshim point that every time the Torah introduces a familiar concept, it always adds something to our understanding of the concept. But, you know, at least the basic concept, you know, when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, guess what, there's something called Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't take 50 steps back and say, what, Shabbos? You know, Shabbos in my home, whoever knew, right? He doesn't react like that, you know. Shabbos is something he's aware of already. Korban Pesach is something he's aware of already. The Yom Tov Pesach is something he's aware of already. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, as a pedagogue, can put those ideas together in one paragraph, because Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need so much individual time to be able to absorb those ideas. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam starts with new ideas, what are the new ideas? There's something called the Minchas HaOmer, and there's something called Sviras HaOmer, and there's a Yom Tov called Shavuos, and there's a Yom Tov called Rosh Hashanah. This is the first time in the Torah that Rosh Hashanah is mentioned. There's a Yom Tov called Yom Kippur, which again was mentioned before, but still, you know, there's certain things that need to be talked about that are unique over here. There's a Yom Tov called Sukkos. Sukkos was mentioned very, very briefly back in the Parsha of Mishpatim and the Parsha of Kisisa, very mamish, like a few words. Shavuos was mentioned very, very briefly. Certainly the degree of detail that the Torah goes into over here is new, that Moshe Rabbeinu was receiving here for the first time. So for that, each Yom Tov needs its own dedicated Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lema, that Moshe Rabbeinu needs to take a break and to absorb all of these halachas that he's learning about the Yom Tov before he's able to go on to the next one. And those each Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lema indicates a separate act of communication that the Ribbono Shel Olam does to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he needs a separate lesson for each of the Yom Tovim so that he can properly absorb what's going on. the hischel dibur chagashvus min haomer. According to this rubric that the Svarno has set up, that each Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor is really, you know, introducing a whole topic to itself, it's interesting that the Torah begins talking about Minchas HaOmer, and then Sfiras HaOmer, and then Shavuos, all in the same package. That's all part of the same lesson that the Ribbono Shalom teaches to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now why is that, right? What's the connection between the Minchas HaOmer and the Yontiv of Shavuos? So he says, Ki me'oz maschil k'tzir HaOmer, the cutting down of the grain begins with the Minchas HaOmer, the cutting down of the new grain. Usfiras hashavuos shehem me'inyin hachag hanikro chag hakotzir v'chag hashavuos. And the counting of Sfira links the k'tzir HaOmer, the cutting down of the Omer, to Shavuos. Shavuos is earlier called in the Torah chag hakotzir, the holiday of reaping. If we begin reaping on the second day of Pesach, reaping the barley, we finish the reaping around Shavuos, which represents the time during which the chitim, the wheat, is reaped. So in other words, there's an organic connection between Sfiras HaOmer and Shavuos. V'chag HaShavuos shebo nitein hodo lokel yisporach al Shavuos chukos kotzir Shishomar Lanu. On Shavuos, one of the things that characterizes the Yontif of Shavuos is that we give thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the harvest which he gave to us. And he adds the following. So this is a basic concept about the Yom Tovim according to the Svarna. Ki omno mikavonas harigolim heim hatfilo v'hahodo'o. You should know that each Yom Tov has within it two elements. Each Yom Tov has within it davening for the future, and hodo'o, thanksgiving for the past. Every Yom Tov, and he's going to go through how this is true, every Yom Tov is an expression of thanks to Hashem for what we've gained, and an expression of davening for Hashem that we should continue to gain from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, for instance, take Pesach, for instance. Right? Pesach clearly is a Yom Tov of tremendous hodah, a Yom Tov of tremendous thanksgiving. We give thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Pesach for our Cheirus, for the fact that we were freed from Mitzrayim. But it's also Tfilo Lokel Al Ha'aviv. As Pesach is the beginning of the spring season, Pesach also represents a Tfilo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this spring season should be successful from an agricultural perspective. Right? We know that Chazal tells us, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us, that b'Pesach nidonin al hatvua, that we're judged on Pesach concerning the grain which is going to grow during the upcoming season. So we need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for on Pesach, but we need to daven on Pesach that the upcoming season is going to be successful. Similarly, the Karban Omer is a Hoda'ah al Ha'aviv. The Karban Omer itself is an expression of thanks to Hashem for the fact that the barley ripened. Again, the barley ripens before the wheat, so you know the Karban Omer is brought from barley. But we know that there's a Karban, there's an animal sacrifice that's brought together with the Minchas HaOmer that's outlined in the Pasuk. Says, "Vasisem biyom hanivchem es haomer pasuk yudbeis, on the day on which you wave the Karban Omer, you should bring keves tamim ben shnaso la'ola l'Hashem. You should bring a sheep as an ola, as a burnt offering to Hashem. What's the role of the sheep? So the Svarno says the role of that Karban ola is tefillah." The carbon that comes with the Minchas HaOmer is davening for the future. And he writes, V'hoiso hasfira zikaron latfila yom yom. And the Sfiras HaOmer, which we engage in for all the nights after the bringing of the Minchas HaOmer is a continuation of that tefillah which is expressed by the Karbon. So here you have a very interesting idea in the Svarna, and maybe we'll have the opportunity tomorrow to expand on the idea a little bit. We typically think of the Sfiras HaOmer as being triggered by the Minchas HaOmer, by the grain offering from barley flour that was brought on the second day of Pesach. I mean, you know, when we count Sfira a little bit later tonight, you know, we read the Psukim from this week's Parsha, right? Svartem lochem imochras ha-shabos, miyom ha-viyachem es omer ha-tnufa. Right? You should count 7 weeks from the day on which you bring the omer ha-tnufa, the measurement of barley, which is waived. So, you know, we seem to link the Sfiras HaOmer to the Minchas HaOmer. Interestingly, and we have to figure out why this is so, the Sfarno links the Sfiras HaOmer not to the Minchas HaOmer, but to the Zevach, to the animal sacrifice that accompanied the Minchas HaOmer. Why? Because the Minchas HaOmer is giving thanks for the past. The Karbon HaOmer, the Zevach HaOmer, is a tefillah for the future, and Sfiras HaOmer has an element within it of tefillah al ha'osid, of davening for the future. Very interesting. So we count Sfira later tonight. We should think about that idea. We'll try to elaborate on that Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow night. The notion that Sfiras HaOmer is not just a count, but in some ways it's a tefillah on the future, that the future should be successful. Okay, Reb Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rots.